Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.
The Andy J Podcast. The Andy J Podcast. The Andy J Podcast.
Hey there, welcome to another episode of the Andy J Podcast. How you doing? Hope you're having a really, really great week. Now, if you're listening to this in real time, I'm really hoping you caught yesterday's show with Stephanie Beatrice and just heard all about Encanto and Brooklyn Nine-Nine and her amazing views on the world and the way she steps into life. I think she was brilliant. Today, we have a solid gold conversation with someone who I sometimes you become very, very, very fond of the people you're interviewing and they stay with you. You know, you just kind of... you have this warmth about them after the conversation, and that is exactly how I feel about today's guest, the lovely Giovanna Fletcher. I sort of went into the conversation knowing she'd be really nice because I'd watched her on I'm a Celebrity, which of course she won. She won Series 20 of I'm a Celebrity a couple of years ago, and that's because she was lovely. You know, the whole world sort of fell in love with her because she's great. She's also a vlogger, a presenter, an author, an actor, and a presenter of many different things, actually. Sort of a real span of things, including The Baby Club, which is something that I watched a couple of years ago with my middle one. So I gotta say, I was expecting her to be nice. I didn't think she'd be just as solidly lovely and wonderful and radiantly happy and brilliant. Her outlook on life is so, so charming, and I've really fallen for her. I think she's just a lovely person, and I'm excited for you to hear this because we all need a bit of good out there, and I just get the sense from Giovanna that's exactly how she lives her life. She sets out to do good. And I just found it inspiring. I really liked her. And she's been absolutely delightful with text messages and so on subsequently. Since then, poor her, she had an accident on stage. And she's been unable to perform for a little while because she's hurt her ankle. And if you follow her on Instagram, you'll see it looks so painful. You know, it's a really nasty ankle injury. And I believe she has her foot in a cast at the moment. Or one of those, you know, massive, great kind of moon boot type things that you have to put on to protect your ankle. So I really hope she has a very, very quick recovery. And she's back to her dancing best in the very near future. Nonetheless, this is a really special conversation, which I hope you enjoy. And I can tell you that tomorrow we'll be bringing another cast member, the man who plays her husband in 222, A Ghost Story, which is what they're starring in at the moment on the West End, Elliot Cowan, who incidentally I went to university with. And Elliot, after our uni days, went on to become this big Hollywood star straight out the blocks. He was in some massive Hollywood movies and has starred with some incredible people like Angelina Jolie, Colin Farrell and Jared Leto. And he's got some amazing stories to share. So please, even if you haven't heard of Elliot, you know, he's a brilliant, brilliant actor. But if the name doesn't ring a bell for you, I really implore you to check out tomorrow's show with him, because some of the chats and some of the stories of these icons, he has an amazing story about a time he worked with Anthony Hopkins. So I'd really encourage you to give it a listen, because it's absolutely fascinating, as well as the fact he's just a really cool guy. I really like Elliot. Anyway, here we go. This one's really special. I'm delighted to say, here is Giovanna Fletcher.
The Andy J Podcast.
I'm so pleased for my next guest. She's an actress, an author, a podcast host, a blogger, a vlogger. She won I'm a Celebrity in 2020. She's currently gracing the West End stage with absolutely terrifying results, incidentally, in the incredible 222, A Ghost Story. And that, of course, is our special feature for this show. She is, of course, the amazing, the wonderful, the queen. That is Giovanna Fletcher. How you doing, Giovanna?
I'm good. It's funny, isn't it, how you can say terrifying results about someone on stage, but knowing that it's a play and not just my acting that's terrifying.
Yes. Yeah, no, that wasn't a review. That was not based on your performance, which I'm hearing only amazing things about, incidentally. And when I say hearing, I mean reading. The people are awash with how good it is and how good you are. So, yeah.
Oh, it's so much fun. It's so much fun. And you know, The characters will go on such a journey throughout the whole show, and as a result, you know, I come home feeling like Mary Poppins, like I've let it all out at the theatre. You know, any fear, any anger, anything, is out. So I literally come back and I'm feeling quite refreshed.
So you're sort of getting ghost therapy.
I am, weirdly, yeah. Although Steph last night, I don't know if she said, she's bought a book that's all about ghosts in theatres in London. And last night we were sat in our dressing room freaking ourselves out about different stories that have taken place throughout the theatres in the West End.
Yeah, she's going method now. I mean, it's a worrying thing when you've got kind of terrifying the unexplained happening on stage and you want to get into that. I mean, whoa. I don't know what your thought is about ghosts, but you can't prove they're not there, right?
Exactly. That's the whole thing. Although the whole play, Elliot's character Sam is trying to prove that they don't exist. That's the whole premise of the play, really. And I just think there's so many things that happen that kind of make your hair stand on end or just that can't be explained. And although it's funny, my thing that I guess happened to me years and years ago, I was at my mum's house in a cottage, and she's got a two-up, she did have a two-up, two-down cottage in Essex, and it was built on an entrance to a graveyard. And I was staying there one night. Mum was downstairs on the sofa, me and my sister were in her bedroom. And I woke up to go to the loo, so I went downstairs, came back up. So I was definitely awake, and then I just felt the room suddenly went freezing cold. And then I had this heat compression on me, like literally as if my body was on fire, everything was being crushed in. And then this weird exchange, which now time has passed. I can't remember if I vocalized it or if it was in my head. But I sort of said, "Is that you, Nan?" And there was a yes that came back, which wasn't her voice. It was a weird sound. And I said, "Is Granddad there?" There was another yes. Then I asked if Sarah June was there, who's my cousin, that passed away over 40 years ago. There was a yes back, and then everything just released, and a very weird sensation. And I know that I was awake, but was I? And then the next day I had this very strange headache where the back of my head, the lower half of it was so tender to touch, so painful, just so bizarre, nothing I've ever experienced before. However, then when I share this story to Danny Robbins, the writer, who also has, many podcasts about poltergeists and ghosts and all sorts, I find myself completely, dismissing it, even as I'm telling the story. Obviously, probably asleep, obviously it's just this thing that your body goes through to fall asleep or whatever. But very bizarre. And well, I think it's those unknown things that freak you out a little bit.
Absolutely.
And leave the door open.
This was a few years ago, right?
Yes. Yeah.
So I was going to say, it sounds a lot like a symptom from the booster jab, actually. But, that's that's far too recent. I mean, this is before that time.
I've got my booster on Monday. So let's see what happens after that.
I got the hot and colds. It was very strange. I was like, "Whoa, really? What's happening here?" Oh, yeah. Deeply, deeply unpleasant in the middle of the night.
I'm on stage on Tuesday, so fingers crossed it all goes fine. What's happened to Jenny? Oh, she's had a booster.
Yes. Yeah, she's safe from Omicron, but not from ghosts.
Exactly.
She's currently being haunted. Yeah, it could be crazy. I mean, let's talk about that sort of power of, because of course you've acted in many things now, but this one in particular, there's something about frightening an audience, right?
Yeah, and it's really, so I've never had this experience before. And we all know when it comes to comedy, you give the audience that license to laugh, that license to vocalize their reaction, which is a really gorgeous thing. And we have that throughout as well, because actually the play is very, very funny. But once you give the audience that license to vocalize, then when there's the scary stuff as well, it is just electrifying to hear. And so from the moment they start, they then don't stop. My first word is actually a swear word, and it catches everyone really by surprise, because it's a big explosive thing that happens. And from that first gasp or that first shriek that the audience do, they are then in.
Well, it's probably because it's you as well, Giovanna, until we've heard you as your character speak for a bit, you're the woman from the Baby Club. You're not supposed to swear.
I know. And so one of my best mates, Emma Willis, came, and apparently she turned to her husband every time I swore, which is quite funny because they don't hear that side of me. But it is, I guess that is part of it. And I think that is actually, if I think about it a lot, that there is definitely that thing of every time Jenny swears, there is a bit of like, oh gosh, she's gone there.
I like this. This could be your rebrand. Do you remember when Daniel Radcliffe did that? I think it was Equus, and he was completely nude on stage.
Yeah,
he was trying to kind of shake the Harry Potter thing. He was like, I'm more than that.
He becomes nude, and I just get potty mouth. Yeah, we don't want her naked. Let her say some swear words. That'll be enough.
Well, to be fair, it's a similar sort of progression, you know, from kind of lullabies and putting kind of soft play items in bags and things to full on potty mouth on the West End.
Yeah,
it's similar to a wizard with his wand out, you know. It's
I love that. I'm going to use that.
You're welcome to it. Yeah. So,
thank you.
So look, you and I have kind of many, many similarities, but not least, we are parent to three young boys.
Oh God.
that's the reaction I was expecting to hear.
I mean, it's just a lot, isn't it? They're all off school now. And, you know, it is just a lot. You've got to keep them outside. You've got to keep them fed. You've got to make sure they sleep. You've got to, you know, it's all that. I heard one person say that having boys is almost like having a dog, in the sense that you do. Those are the three basics that you need to cover. They need to sleep. They need to be active. And they need to eat. And as long as you've got those three down, you're good. But I mean, I don't know what your three are like, but mine literally can't walk past each other without an arm being extended or a foot. There's always some physical interaction that's going on. So I do feel like a referee the majority of the time.
I love it. I mean, but the trouble is though, right? Because I don't know that many other people with three boys, especially three boys, mine are all under 10, same as yours, I think.
Yeah.
And so there are very few that I know that have got three boys. And so I don't have that kind of big comparison going on. But when I look at what you've achieved just in the last couple of years, you know, I'm sort of like, well, hang on, I thought I was doing all right, but you seem to be I mean, how do you do it? How do you find all this time?
It is a bit bonkers, to be honest. And I think, firstly, I love what I do, so it never feels like a chore. And the things I do probably have stemmed from hobbies. So I guess, you know, the hobbies go out the window because what I do for work is actually the things that I really, really enjoy. Mm. But me and Tom always say, you know, we don't socialise, we don't sleep, we don't, you know, there's so many things that we don't do as a result of it. But it's a funny one. And I do find it weird that I guess my most productive year was after my second child was born. You know, I wrote three books in that year, definitely focused on three books in that year. And it is bizarre to look back and think of all that. But at the same time, when I do have a break, in August, when I finished writing the current book, I then suddenly found myself feeling quite lost. Like, what do I do now that I've not got? And there's always something around the corner, so you should probably just enjoy that moment when it comes. But I do love it. And the through thread has always been storytelling. You know, I went to drama school. That is what I love doing. And I find it, you know, thrilling that I get to do that through books, through the podcast. You know, the podcast is essentially me helping other people tell their stories. And now, you know, back with acting as well. So, I mean, it's a juggle. It's a constant juggle. And I think me and Tom, because we are both busy, we do sit down and we have those chats of, you know, what's got to give? What do we pull back on or push back on now? And it is a constant balancing act, a juggling act. And I don't think any parent feels like they're ever getting it right. And anybody, actually, when it comes to a work-life balance, I think we're always sort of reassessing it and seeing what needs to be shifted. And I think that's healthy.
Yes. And, you know, it's so interesting that you say that, you know, that the social life has gone out the window as well, because I don't know if you're the same as me, but I endlessly, every time a new work thing comes up or, you know, there's this many hours in the day that have to be devoted to the job and so on, I get the dad guilt. I get the, well, hang on, I need to make sure I've got this much time for the kids today and tomorrow and so on and so forth.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. And then you do come home for the bedtime. And it's all manic. And you're like, why? Why are you manic now? So that's definitely something that I'm sort of feeling. And over the last month where we've been in rehearsals, I've had the book tour, you know, different things going on. It has been really, really intense. And you do kind of go, oh, but, you know, what about the kids? But now I'm in a nice period where, because the show's open, I'm going to be home with them all day and then going into the theatre at night. So I do think it's, it swings and roundabouts. And you do get that time. And I try as much as possible, because I can, because the whole freelance life, and I feel so lucky about it, as much as possible to be off during their holidays and stuff, so that we can, even if we're just at home crafting, or, you know, I'm chasing them around a park, that is, you know, that is what I feel like I need to be doing during those times. And so as much as possible, if I can shift work, that is always the dream, the goal. It doesn't always work out, but that's what I'm like aiming to achieve.
Yeah, good for you. Crafting, though, I have this vision of you with three lads making wicker baskets together, and I'm like, I don't know if that's going to work out.
No, we don't do that. I get, usually they have to stumble across me doing something to even have any interest in it. If I lay things out and I'm like, let's do this, everyone's like, no, we're not doing it. So they do have to. And also, I always find the boys, they're getting on best when they're up to something. You know, they're always, when they're planning something that they know isn't quite good behaviour or model behaviour. Like the other day, I was moving some logs in the garden. We've just moved, and there was a tree that had obviously been taken down but just left. So I was taking some logs across to somewhere to store them. And then they got their old sleigh, and they were putting logs on it and moving it somewhere else so they could build a den.
Nice.
You know, they're constantly doing something that's a little bit mischievous. But I like that as well, because they are then being creative and, you know, working together. Yeah. Even if the end goal isn't quite what I would choose them to be doing.
I love that. I taught my eldest how to blow up a whoopee cushion, because of course it's quite a complicated maneuver. It's not just like blowing up a balloon. And so I was delighted a couple of days later when I saw him showing the middle one how to do it. I was like, oh, okay. It's going to be so noisy sweet in this house, you know.
Oh, I love that though. I love those little moments of kindness between them. You know, I think in those fleeting moments, you kind of go, yeah, I'm doing all right. I'm doing good. It's working.
You're listening to the Andy J podcast, and we really appreciate having you here with us. If you're enjoying the show, why not leave us a lovely review and perhaps 5 stars, and subscribe wherever you're listening, as it really does help.
The Andy J podcast.
I love it. Now, you described yourself earlier as a storyteller, which I think is absolutely delightful. You've written so many books, but across so many different things. And actually, you know, one in particular, the motherhood book, is very, very personal. Have you sort of found it cathartic sharing your own life? Because it's one thing to build characters that are influenced by your life and your experience. You can still sort of dismiss that as imagination. But when you're talking about, this is my story, this is what happened, this is what happens to a human being, mentally, physically, and so on. Did you find it difficult to do, or was it kind of a revelation?
It was a revelation. I'd already written, I think, 4 fiction books by that point, by the time I wrote Have Mum, Have Baby. It could have been 5, actually. Mm. And it did feel, because when I was in the book tour for one, people kept saying, would you ever do this? Would you ever write about being a mum? And I just thought at the time, it was all books that tell people how to do it. This is what you should be doing. This is the right way to parent. And I read all the books before Buzz arrived, and, you know, he came out, he hadn't read a single one. So he didn't know what I was trying to do. We didn't, you know, it was always felt like I had this voice in my ear telling me what I should be doing, rather than just trusting my, you know, natural maternal instincts. So I just thought, if I was to write in that field, would I be adding to that chaos, that noise? And that's something I really didn't want to do. So I just thought, you know what, if I am going to do it, I have to write honestly and just share. And I'll be honest, what is lovely about writing nonfiction, especially in the nonfiction world that I do, which is all about my own experiences, you know everything. Mm. So you're not having to do endless research. You literally just, you become an open book. And so the first draft I wrote, I shared about PCOS, I shared about miscarriage, and I just thought, I'm going to just write it all down, because in the end, I can edit it out. If I feel uncomfortable, if I feel like actually I don't want that in there, I don't want people to know that, I can just take it out. And I got to the end and I thought, well, actually, that's my complete motherhood journey. And if I take that loss out, or that grief, or that guilt, or anything out like that, then that's not telling the whole picture, telling the whole story. And that's also diminishing the whole thing and making it more into that perfect picture that is not actually achievable or attainable or realistic. So I just thought, actually, I'm going to keep it all in, which is kind of what I've done with the 2 mum books that I've done, and now with the podcast as well. I think it's when we talk honestly, it's so powerful. And I think using that is the best tool you can give other parents, because whether they are going through anything similar, you know, just so that they can understand other parents as well, I think it's really, really powerful. Plus, with things like maternal mental health, I didn't realise when I started writing Have Mum, Have Baby what the situation was with maternal mental health. And really, it's only been talked about in the last couple of years. But, you know, it's such a massive obstacle for us all to tackle. And, you know, sadly, the leading cause of death in new mums within the first year is suicide. And that is something that we all really need to focus on. And I think the more honest conversations we have around that, the better. Because just hearing someone else talk about something that you're going through, knowing that you're not on your own, is just such a massive boost for everyone.
I've found that with this show, the number of celebrities I've spoken to that share a mental health story, then the audience come back and go, oh my gosh, you know, if they've experienced that, then it sort of validates how I'm feeling. You know, and it's really powerful.
With the podcast, it doesn't matter who you are, what you have, what you do. There are certain things that we all have to face and tackle. And, you know, I think, you know, the more we share, and it is that seeing people that you think, well, they're fine, and realizing that actually, no, they're not. And it doesn't discriminate. You know, I think that really does help.
Yes. Do you know, I had one really interesting note from somebody. I'm sure you get all sorts of messages, but lots of the messages I've had regarding mental health of people with their own struggles. But one of them was most revealing of all, actually, where this listener had kind of written in to say, you know, I was thinking to myself, if these celebrities are having this, and you never know because there's this veneer of success, then what about my own friends? So I reached out to someone that had been a bit quiet and found that they were hiding and they shared. And it was only because I'd made the connection that if these people are struggling, maybe some of my mates are in trouble. I reached out, I made a difference. And I thought, wow, that's great.
It's so true. And I think when it comes to stuff like the podcast, we have people listen who don't have children, but their friends might.
Yeah.
So they know, you know, to look out for certain things. And I think, I think having those conversations is so important, and realizing that sometimes it's okay to say, I'm not okay, but also, what do we do after that? What's the next step in that? How do we reach out and get proper help and turn things around? So I think it's a conversation that's continuously evolving, you know, what is next after we say I'm not okay.
Yes.
And I think that's an important thing to focus on.
Well, let's talk about your podcast, because I mean, what a way to start. How was this for you when you're deciding you're doing the pod and you've kind of shared it with the relevant people and all the rest of it? How did you get told guest number one was going to be a member of the royal family, not just any member either, the Duchess of Cambridge, for goodness sake?
Well, she wasn't guest number one. She was on series 7. So we were running for quite a long time by then.
Right,
From day one, though, because doing interviews and stuff, you always ask who would be your dream guest. And she was always, you know, the first person I said. And it was while she was doing her campaign a couple of years ago, about the 5 big questions, because she is phenomenal with her knowledge and her devotion to early years and what she wants to happen in that area, which is more important now than ever. And so she wanted to launch these 5 big questions, and her team got in touch, and they wanted us to do 5 different episodes around the 5 different questions. And I thought, well, I can absolutely tailor that and make it work in some way, but it's a bit far removed from what we actually do on the podcast. So I didn't know how much of engagement that would be, because we were thinking about getting different experts and things on. Sorry, I'm just going to let the cat out because, you know, it's important time. So when I spoke to her team, I said, but would we be able to get the Duchess on at all? And they said, maybe for 10 minutes, because at the time she hadn't done anything like that. And I think it felt so far removed from what she was doing. Then I met her at a royal engagement, and we spoke for 5 minutes. We spoke about maternal mental health, how important it was to, you know, help parents and things like that. And the next thing I know, I've been given 45 minutes with her to record the podcast. Yeah. And then we were there in the room for an hour and a half. And she was phenomenal, you know, and even then though, we were meant to originally with the brief, we were meant to have experts in the field. Throughout. And after I spoke to her, I was like, no, we don't need that. Because actually what we'd do with that is we would belittle her knowledge.
Yes.
And make it seem like that, you know, it's not like validated. And actually she speaks with such passion that it was just a joy to listen to her. And then also there was the lovely mix of her talking about the campaign, her talking about that work that she's focused on so heavily, but also her as a mum. And it was the first time that she'd done so. So it was complete honour to be a part of that for her. And also, I had no idea what it was going to be like or how it was going to be received. But it was all a bit of a whirlwind, to be honest.
I think that's lovely. Was it a bit surreal, kind of having to kind of go in for a royal recording? Was it a bit kind of
absolutely
like...
really surreal? We sat there with china, you know, like a cup and saucer. Now, let me tell you, I do not give a cup and saucer to any other guest. You know, there was a teapot on the table, like it was, you know, a proper little a mother's meeting, which was absolutely incredible. And we were both nervous at the top, which we both said. But it was amazing. And I absolutely loved it. And no, I love going back and listening to the raw footage of it, you know, before the edit. So it's everything in there. And what an incredible woman, just absolutely phenomenal. And I actually get really excited about the work that her and William are going to do, in the future to help future generations. I think we're very lucky to have them, to be honest.
Yes, they strike me as being a real force for good, actually.
Yes, completely. Their own egos are out the window. It's all about the work and how they can help people. And you see that actually on royal engagements when you follow them around or when you're with them, they really are completely in tune with whoever they're talking to. You know, they build on the conversation. They know that people are going to be nervous talking to them, but they properly listen. They properly then ask, like, follow up with another question that's engaged. And so I feel like it's a real masterclass watching them in how to be with people, you know, in social situations.
Well, I think you're smashing it, Giovanna, because, I mean, this is the first time that you and I have made friends. This is our first opportunity to chat. And I've got to tell you, speaking honestly, I'm absolutely blown away. You're a phenomenon. You really are.
Thank you.
Well, you're so good at what you do, and which is multi-layered, you know, across the board. Your kind of CV is ridiculous. You're so kind and positive. You mean so much to so many people. You're a role model. Aww. You're a mum of three. You've got a cat. I mean, you know, it's
sorry, she doesn't understand it's radio. She's just like, ow! You either let her out or just me out the whole way through.
You move logs. I mean, it's amazing, you know. No, I mean, you know, I'm really, I know this sounds so glib, but I'm so impressed. I think you're phenomenal. I'm really impressed with you.
Oh, bless you. Thank you so much. Thank you. I enjoy what I do. And I care. So, you know, that's, I just feel very lucky to be in the position that I am, really, that I get to tell stories, share stories, and help people in the process.
Yes. Yes, and you really have helped. I mean, if you're comfortable talking about it, you don't have to on any level, but there's a sort of well-known historical moment, which your brother, obviously, he's talked about how you've saved his life historically. I mean, that's a lot to carry around.
I mean, but it's like we're saying with mental health, the more we talk about things, the more we dismantle the shame that's you know, not feeling okay or feeling... all these sort of imposturing thoughts, and you know, the imposter syndrome that lands on all of us, that tells us we're not good enough, that tells us we shouldn't be here, that tells us the world would be a better place without us in it. The more we talk about those thoughts, because they are not real, they are not based on any facts, they are just your brain taking over or something within you taking over, you know, the more powerful we are to combat that. And, you know, and I'm very proud of Mario for, you know, speaking out about his story. And sadly, we've seen lots of other people on TV who have felt those things and haven't spoken out, or not even on TV. You know, we all hear those stories of friends and loved ones who have sadly decided to take their own lives. And I think if all we've got to do is talk, if all we've got to do is open up, that's nothing. You know, that if talking saves lives, then let's just bloody talk.
Giovanna, let's look to the future, 2022. I mean, I sort of think, what is left for you to achieve? Because you've done so much, but, you know, your light is shining so brightly. I'm assuming that there's a million other things to do and to keep kind of charging forward at.
Yeah, and, you know, even going into the castle last year, people said to me, well, you know, what do you want to do off the back of it? And I'm a bit like, well, I've got my books, I've got my podcast, they're stuff that I love doing, and that is where my passion lies. And I think when other opportunities come along, I I think it is also that freelancer in me. It's that actor in me that kind of goes, well, you have to make the most of those opportunities when they come because you don't know when they're going to stop coming. But also, I think for that reason, I've always had a bit of a problem with a 5-year or a 10-year plan because you simply don't know what life is going to throw your way. So for me, I just continue plowing on and doing the work that I love and hoping that, you know, I bring people together in the process and make them feel good. Which actually I love about 222. You know, the majority of things that I do, in fact, everything that I do is about making people feel good. 222, not so much.
It's about terrifying them.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Let them feel relieved that they're out of the theatre at the end of it.
Yes. Yeah, it's about stopping the nation from sleeping.
Yeah. Yeah, there we go. Yeah. Everyone, when they wake, they stop people looking at their mobile phones to see the time at night. There we go. So they sleep better. Maybe that's a positive that comes out of it.
That's an excellent twist. I like that. we're going to be talking to my old uni pal, Elliot Cowan. You're on stage husband in a few moments. Do you want to stitch him up at all? Do you want to tell me any
there was a time on stage the other night which he's made me do my first corpse on stage, so he has a line where he says, "You've not slept a wink," and he said instead the words "you've slept" came out of his mouth, so he ended up saying, "You've slept not a wink," and it sounded beautiful poetry, but luckily I was facing the door off stage at the time, so I could properly kind of go and kind of get over it. But no, he's absolutely amazing, and I adore being on stage with him. He's so much fun and brilliant. You know, I feel like he is the glue that holds us all together, to be honest.
Oh, what a lovely, so I feel very lucky. He's a proper thespian, isn't he? He's kind of like a giant of a man. Yeah,
he is. And you know, we do all of our warm-ups together, our vocal warm-ups and stuff before the show. He's keeping us all on track, I think.
I love that. He's extremely good. But that's not really stitching him up, though, Giovanna. I was hoping you were going to say something like, you know, he blocked the toilet or he smelt of curry or something, but no.
He's not done any of that.
Oh, well, there's a few more weeks left. I'm sure that
there we go.
It's all possible.
You've probably got more stories on him than I do, though.
Well, yeah, but the trouble is, those are not. Maybe if we weren't recording, then it would be all right. There are a couple of stories that spring to mind, but they're probably. Probably not fair for me to do that while I'm recording.
Oh, bless you.
But next time.
Yeah.
Giovanna, what a lovely conversation. You're such good company. And I can't wait to come and see the show. I'm coming in the very start of January. So I'm really looking forward to it. Really looking
forward to it. Perfect. Well, let us know when you're coming. I'm sure you'll let Elliot know, but let me know when you're coming as well. And then, never know, we can go out for dinner or something, depending on the state of the world. Let's see what happens.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. But no, that would be incredible. I'd love that. Giovanna, what a pleasure. Thank you so much for your company.
Thank you.
It's been
Thank
really
you.
Special. You can go and do your hair again now if you like.
I've got to go sort the cat out now. She's just calling me out and get me out the door.
Oh, bless your heart. Brilliant. Have a wonderful day. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Take care.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
Bye. The Andy J Podcast.
Wasn't she just wonderful? Oh, I really love Giovanna, such a special lady, and I feel so honoured to have had that conversation. What a wonderful woman, and it just makes me feel happy re-listening to that. So I hope you've enjoyed it. Go forth, have a lovely, lovely day. I hope you'll join us again tomorrow for a brilliant and fascinating conversation about life inside Hollywood with Hollywood legends from the wonderful Elliot Cowan. That's tomorrow's show. For now, walk tall, go well, and be kind. See you on the flip side.
Andy J Podcast.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. Hello Fresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. Hello Fresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.